Shalom, this is Alex Israel, and we're learning Parashat Chukat, and I'm going to be looking at Shishi and Shvi'i. And when we reach the end of the Parashat here, Shishi, we see Bnei Israel traveling from place to place. Vayisu Bnei Israel v'yachanu ba'ovot. Vayisu me'ovot v'yachanu b'iyei ha'avarim v'mibar al-shal p'nei mo'av v'mizrach ha'shemesh. Misham nasu v'yachanu b'nachal zered. Misham nasu v'yachanu me'ever arnon. In other words, Bnei Israel are traveling from Ovot to Iyei HaAvarim, which is near Moav, to Nachal Zered, to Arnon, and the rest of the Parsha until the end deals with the war against Sichon Melech HaEmori, and then the war against Og. Why does the Torah want to describe this whole journey and the various battles with Sichon and Og? What exactly are they teaching us? What is happening here? And here let's take a step back for a moment and look back at the whole of chapter 20 and 21, Perek Chaf and Chaf Aleph of Sefer Bamidbar. Perek Chaf and Chaf Aleph describe a very particular historical period. You see, Bnei Israel have been in the Mibar now for 40 years. And the story begins in Kadesh in the 40th year, where it seems like what they're going to do is travel to the launching pad for the entrance to Eretz Israel. In fact, the very last verse, the very last pasuk of the Parsha, sees them, Ba'arvot Moav Me'eva Le'Yarden Yerecho. What's interesting is that Bnei Israel begin on the southern edge of Eretz Israel, at Kadesh. It could well be that that was the route that they were meant to take in the first year, in the second year of the Midbar, the original entry point to the land. But I assume that since they've been there in the wilderness for 40 years in that vicinity, the various Canaanites and Amalekites in the country have built all sorts of fortifications that fortified the southern border, expecting some sort of invasion from there. And therefore that would seem to be a particularly, not a particularly good route to take in order to invade the land. Moreover, that is the way that the Meraglim went in, and I'm sure it has a sort of bad memories for Bnei Israel. Instead, what they need to do is, they need to go south of the Dead Sea and make their way up Eva HaYarden, make their way up the Transjordan, past Edom, past Moav, and enter the land opposite Jericho. The problem is that Edom and Moav both won't give them passage, and therefore they have to take a huge detour to circumvent Edom and Moav, but they do. They go all the way down to Etzion Gaver, to the Eilat area, and then make their way through Transjordan, past Petra and other places, all the way through to the land of Sichon Melech HaEmori. And it is here that we suddenly encounter the description of the Torah, which seems to run into verse and refer to all sorts of strange books that we've never heard of. Let me just read the psukim here. I'm looking at Perek Chaf Aleph, chapter 21, verse 13, 14, etc. Because there we read, Ve'yachanu me'eva Arnon, they encamped just over the Arnon Wadi. Ki Arnon Gvul Moav bein Moav uvein Emori. The Arnon Wadi was the border between Moav in the south and the Emori in the north. And now Al Kein Ya'amar b'Sefer Milchamot Hashem. And therefore it is said in the book of the wars of God, Vahev Basufa Vetan Khalim Arnon, Veshatan Khalim Ashenatala Shevet Ar, Vinishan Gvul Moav. If I read it in the translation, it says there, in the book of the wars of the Lord, it says, Vahev Binasufa, and the Wadis Arnon with its tributary Wadis stretch across the settled country of Ar, hugging the territory of Moav. What is the Sefer Milchamot Hashem, and what are these strange psukim? Later on, when we describe the land of Emori, we see another very strange set of psukim. Al kein yomru ha-moshlim, bo cheshbon, tiboneh v'tikoneh in ir sichon, ki eish yatsa me-cheshbon lehavar me-kiryat sichon, achla ar Moab, ba'alei bamot arnon, oy lecha Moab, avadata am kamosh, natan banav pleitim, uvnotav b'shvit melech amuri sichon. You can hear the lilt of the language, which is poetic. Come to Cheshbon, firmly built and well-founded is Sichon city. For fire went forth from Cheshbon, flame from Sichon city, consuming Ar of Moab, the lords of Bamot by the Arnon. Woe to you, people of Moab, you are undone, people of Chemosh. Your sons are rendered fugitives and your daughters captives, etc., etc. What exactly are these songs? Rashi claims that these are the songs of victory of Bnei Israel, and all sorts of miracles happen to Bnei Israel at this point. And that this is when we sing about the amazing miracles. These are later written in some sort of Sefer Milchamot Hashem. And the Moshlim, we have Moshlim, Al Kein Ya'amer HaMoshlim. These are, of course, the poets of Bnei Israel who sing victory songs in order to praise God. But the Ramban is bothered here because there are references here to Chemosh, the gods of Moab, and that many of these songs actually seem to sing the praises of Sichon rather than the praises of Bnei Israel. And therefore, the Ramban emerges with a remarkable theory. And he says that these Moshlim, these poets, and this book of Milchamot Hashem, the Wars of God, are actually ancient historical books. And that the Torah here is quoting from history books. History books of our surrounding nations, probably Amorite history books, which sung the praises of Sichon and spoke about what an amazing warlord Sichon had been, because Sichon took over a whole tract of land from the Arnon to the Yabbok, as we read here in chapter 1. Verse 24 and 25, what had happened was the land of Moab was overtaken by Sichon, and now Israel fights Sichon and take his land. In order to express exactly how much God has helped us, what happens is that we quote the poems of ancient history which describe Sichon's victory. Fire went forth from Cheshbon, flame from Sichon, consuming Ar of Moab. You are undone, O people of Chemosh, etc., etc. And we talk about how Et Vahev Besufah, in other words, Sichon managed to destroy Vahev like a storm, Vet HaNechalim Arnon, and to come down like a incredible flash flood into this land of Moab and overtake the land. And why would the Torah want to quote ancient poems from the Middle East? And here I think we can find a fascinating answer by opening Sefer Tehillim. Well, that's the first place we'll open, but maybe we'll look at other places as well. If you open Sefer Tehillim, we'll look at Perek Kuf Lamed Vav. We have a famous Perek that we read in Pesukei Dezimra every Shabbat. We read, for example, L'molich amo b'midbar, kilolam chazdo. L'makem alachim gdolim. We smote great kings, kilolam chazdo. V'yarog malachim adirim. Unbelievable, mighty kings, kilolam chazdo. L'sichon melech emori, kilolam chazdo. U'le'og melech habashan, kilolam chazdo. V'natan artzam l'nachala, kilolam chazdo. In other words, why are we singing the praises of the defeat of Sichon and Og? Because these kings were so formidable. These kings cast so much fear into the surrounding nations. They were simply unbeatable. And yet, Am Yisrael came along and destroyed them. Am Yisrael came along and managed to vanquish them and to take the lands which they had inhabited and conquered from Moab. By the way, no wonder that after Israel had defeated Sichon, we find in next week's parsha, Balak, that Balak, the king of Moab, was terrified that Bnei Israel were going to attack him. Of course, if Sichon is stronger than Moab, and Israel has defeated Sichon, it would be reasonable for Mo'av to expect that they are next. However, if we go throughout the Tanakh, you will find that the victory over Sihon and Og gives Am Yisrael a psychological edge and really explains to Am Yisrael that they can certainly defeat the seven nations of Canaan. This is true, for example, in the tale that we are told in Yehoshua chapter 2 of Rachav Hazonah, where Rachav finds these two Israelites men, the spies, who have come to check out the land, and she says, "We're all terrified of you. And why are we terrified of you? Because we heard how God dried up the waters of the Yamsuf, and what you did to the two kings of the Amori in Transjordan, Sihon and Og, that you absolutely destroyed them." And this is true also in Sefer Bamidbar. This always becomes a sort of encouragement and a proof text. As Moshe Rabbeinu says in his final speech to Bnei Israel in Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph, he says, Hashem Elokecha hu over lefanecha hu yashmida tokoyim ha'ele. God is walking before you. He is going before you. He will destroy these nations. V'yirishtam, and you will supplant them. Va'asa Hashem lahem ka'asher asa l'sichon u'le'og malchei ha'emori u'le'artsam asher hishmidotam. And God will destroy them just like he did to Sichon and Og. In other words, the focus on Sichon and Og and all of these war poems is really coming to express just how much Hashem is fighting for Bnei Israel. And in this regard, I'd like to turn to the last psukim of Parsha Chukat, where we encounter the war with Og Melech HaBashan, where even the great Moshe Rabbeinu is told, Al Tira, do not be scared. What is there to be scared of here? Why would you be scared of Og? And it seems like Og was a giant of some sort. In Devarim chapter 3, we hear about the fact, the size of his bed, where his bed was 9 amot, 9 cubits by 4 cubits. Now, if a cubit is a foot and a half, so we're dealing with a bed which is 6 feet, if you want, by something like 12 feet. Not an extraordinary, it doesn't mean he's like a giant who is tens of meters high, but a pretty big guy. And more than that, Sefer Devarim talks about his 60 cities, his 60 fortified cities in the Bashan. Og seems to have been a particularly powerful warlord, and the Midrash, and also a giant. There's a wonderful, wonderful Midrash about Og, which I want to share with you. It's found in Masechet Brachot. And maybe I'll just read it in English, it's worthwhile hearing because of what it wants to tell us. It says here, the Gemara in Brachot, that Og Melech HaBashan lifted up a mountain. I mean, of course, he's seen as an unbelievable giant. He uprooted a mountain which was 3 parsaot, 3 miles square. He lifted it over his head and was about to throw it on Bnei Israel. What did God do? He took some grasshoppers and they chewed a hole in it. And the stone instead fell around his neck, and when Og wanted to take it off his neck, his teeth were extended this way and that way, and he was unable to do it. This sounds like a sort of cartoon animation. We have a huge giant and a scheme to take a mountain and drop it on Bnei Israel, when tiny grasshoppers come and chew a hole in it and upset his center of balance, and it falls on top of his head. Great slapstick. But what are we trying to say? Well, I think it's like this. If you recall the last attempt to go to Eretz Israel, the Meraglim were intimidated by what? By giants. And how did they see themselves? They saw themselves like grasshoppers. In this Midrash, the giant is defeated by the grasshoppers. And indeed, this is the story of Og and Sihon. These great giants, these people who represent all the military might, are totally vanquished and destroyed and captured by small Bnei Israel who emerge out of the desert lands. However, because Hashem is on their side, they now are able to defeat these incredible military powers. And as we've explained here, if they can defeat Sichon v'Og, then indeed, Hashem ha'olech lefanecha, God who goes before you, he will give you success in capturing the land of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in the last line of the parsha, that's exactly where we find Bnei Yisrael. As we read there, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael v'yachanu b'arvot Moav me'iver la'yardein Yericho. Bnei Yisrael travel to the plains of Moav, just across the river from Yericho, right by the Yardane. We have arrived at the border of the promised land, and now we're going to have to see how we prepare for entering the land.